All right, everyone say, let's begin. So tonight, even though again this is Rabbi Nachman Shir, we're actually going to do a very, very beautiful piece by Rabbi Levi Yitzhak Berdichev. And the truth is, it's one of my favorite pieces in all of Kiddushas Levi. And you'll see why the profundity is quite amazing. So let's get a little bit of background. So first of all, we'll start over here at paragraph A. So remember again, Rabbi Levi Yitzhak, the Kiddushas Levi, is quoting... It's quoting from the pasuk where it says that Vayavo Noach el ha-teva mipnei mehamabul. Noach goes into the teva because of the waters of the mabul. So ultimately, again, what Rashi and all the other mafarshim are bothered by is why does the pasuk say that he goes in mipnei mehamabul because of the waters of the mabul? Meaning, why not just go say? Remember, the Torah had already said beforehand that the rains had begun, that the flood had begun, and all you need to tell me is that Noah entered into the Teva. And the context is enough to tell me that he's going in there because it's starting to rain, because the marble's coming. Yet the Torah goes out of its way to say, Noah entered into the Teva. Why? Mipnei meha marble. Because of the waters of the marble. And Rashi HaKadosh makes an amazing statement. Rashi says, essentially, the way you read the pasuk is, Noah went into the Teva. Why? Because the rains became heavy. In other words, according to Rashi, what the pasuk is saying is like this. Even though the Ribbono Shel Olam had ordered Noach into the Teva earlier, Noach didn't go when HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded him. Instead, Noach waited until he had no option but to enter into the Teva because of the waters of the Mabul. Which leads Rashi to make an astounding statement. Therefore Rashi says, Ach nedakti peperish Rashi zal, af Noach, Miktane Amanahaya. So what do you see from here? Even Noah was Miktane Amanah. Miktane Amanah means he was little or small or lacking in his faith. Which I will say, if you think about it, is a very dramatic statement. So according to Rashi HaKadosh, even though Noah was told for the last 120 years that there's going to be a flood, and even though Noach is told repeatedly that he and his family are going to be saved, and even though Noach is told repeatedly that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to wipe out and obliterate all of humanity, nevertheless, the fact that God commands him to go into the Teva is not enough. He only enters into the Teva when the Mamish begins to pour. And not just begins to pour, but Mamish begins to flood. Therefore, says Rashi HaKadosh, Noach miktani emunah. Noach was small in his faith. In other words, he believed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he didn't believe. You know, sometimes in life you believe something, but I believe it conceptually, but I'll really believe it when I see it. Noach believed there was going to be a flood, but he didn't really believe it, ultimately, until the waters began to really pour down. So Rabbi Yitzchak, Kedarko Bakodesh, is very bothered by this. You know, every great person has, to be a great person, a person has to be a composite of a variety of positive midos. But usually people have the mido or a mido with which they are particularly proficient. A mido with which they are specifically in tune with. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak's mido was Avas Yisrael. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak loved every single Jew. He loved every single Jew. And not just the tzaddikim, and not just the pious, and not just the chassidim, not just the... He loved literally every single Jew. A boundless love. An incredible avas hinam, an incredible avas Yisrael. So Levi Yitzchak is bothered by this. He says, Heich, in paragraph A, Heich yachol lihiyozeh. How could this be? How could Rashi say that Noach miktani emuna? How can you make that statement that Noach was small in his faith? After all, ki akosav meyed alav Noach ish tzadik tomim hayabedor osaf. So ask Rabbi Yitzchak, I don't understand. I will say, I have to tell you something. It's always bothered me, and it bothered Yonah also, right? Which is what the pasuk begins, right? Says that Noach was an ish tzadik, a righteous man. Tamim Haya, he was complete bedorosav in his generations. You know the famous machlokis in Rashi. Rashi's bothered by what? Why does it have to say bedorosav? Why does it have to say he was righteous in his generation? Why not just go ahead and say he was righteous? Se Elamai, Rashi says, because according to at least one opinion, the Torah is telling you that Noach possessed what we'll call relative righteousness. He was righteous in the generation in which he lived because it was comparative righteousness. Everyone else was so ridiculously evil that Noach was considered to be a tzaddik. But had he lived with other righteous people, like Avram Avinu, he would not have been considered so righteous. So Rabbi Yitzchak says, how can you say that? Right? First of all, What does it even mean? So Rav Levi Yitzchak understands, Noach ish tzaddik tamei b'dorosav, he was a tzaddik. So if the Torah is telling me that he's a tzaddik, then what? Rashi, how can you come along and say what? How can you say what? That he was miktani emunah. How could Rashi come along and say that Noach possessed little faith or was small in his faith when the Torah HaKdosha itself says that Noach was a tzaddik? That's question number one. Question number two, which is the Bam Kasha, Vaod Kasha. Lama lo hayim ispal Noach levat ha'agzera? Now Noach spends 120 years building the Teva. And what doesn't he do once during 120 years? He never davens. He never davens, Ribono Shel Olam, don't destroy the world. 120 years he's building a Teva. Not once does he ever utter a supplicative plea, Ribono Shel Olam, please, please do not go ahead and destroy the world. Please save humanity.
How do we know
that? I'm sorry?
How do we know he doesn't?
Because we would assume that if you were to daven on behalf of Rishoyim, that the Torah would record that. I'll say, how do we know that? Because the Torah records about Avraham Avinu. When Avraham Avinu davens on behalf of stone, the Torah goes out of its way to go ahead and record that tefillah, because one of the great accomplishments of a tzaddik is to have a general concern for all of humanity. So we infer from the fact that the Torah recorded it by Avraham but doesn't record it by Noach, indicates us that Noach never davened. So we'll say, so these are the two kashas of the Rebbe. Number one, how could Rashi say that Noach was small or deficient in his faith, miktani emun ayah, when the Torah itself is made, when the Torah itself testifies and says that Noach was a tzaddik? That's question number one. And question number two, why did Noach never daven to be mavatal v'gzir? Why did he never daven to go ahead and negate the divine decree to destroy the world? So let's look what the Rebbe says. Novel Levar. So let's explain this. Paragraph B. Kiyesh shnei minei tzadikim sha'odu habore. Both said there are two different types of righteous people who serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Both said it's an incredible Yisrael. Two different types of tzadikim. What are the two types of tzadikim? Yesh tzadik sha'ovet habore ve'ein lo cheshek rak lihiyos ovet habore. There is one type of tzaddik who serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu and is only desirous to serve God. His only desire in life. However, here's the chap. Umamin sheyesh lakoach be'alyonim lahanhig ha'olamos kiritzono. But this tzaddik believes that through his tefillos, through his relationship with God, he could shape the course of events. That the tzaddik understands he has power. The tzaddik has sway over God. The tzaddik has the ability to influence the course of events. Kimo she'amarnu chachamenu zal, tzaddik moshel biyiras elokim. As Chazal say, the tzaddik rules biyiras elokim. The tzaddik has, what does it mean the tzaddik rules? The tzaddik has the ability to influence realities. The tzaddik has the ability to influence the course of events. How? Through his yiras Hashem. That's the power of a tzaddik. Once I lose, I can shape destiny. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes there, the tzaddik mevak lagzir l'tov. Even when God makes negative decrees, the tzaddik has the ability to go and overturn them. And of course, the most dramatic example of this is Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? There were multiple times where the Ribono Shel Olam advanced harsh decrees upon Klal Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu is able to overturn them. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to go ahead and change them and shift them. That's the power of the tzaddik. HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes there, tzaddik goes there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes there, tzaddik mevato. However, that's the first type of tzaddik. Tzaddik who believes in his power to affect change. However, v'yesh tzaddik acher, echot, she'oveit abori baruch hu, v'hu shafel be'enei atzmo, ma'od ma'od. There's another type of tzaddik. I will say, what's the chap with this tzaddik? He also serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he's very lowly in his own eyes. He doesn't think much of himself. If we call it low self-esteem, low self-worth. I know my job is to go out and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I don't really hold myself in any high regard. V'choshev b'libo, mi ani she'espala levatel ha'gzera, lochein eno mispala levatel. And I will say, this second tier of tzaddik, he serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but what? He does not believe that he has the ability to affect any level of change. So I'm going to do my part. I'm going to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to observe my halachas. I'm going to keep my mitzvahs. I'm going to do whatever I have to do. But I don't really matter. And because I don't really matter, I don't believe that I could actually affect any level of change. And that's why he says, Lachin eno mispala levatel. That's why even when he sees something negative occurring, he never davens to change the course of events. Why? Because he doesn't feel that he could impact anything. because he doesn't feel that he can matter. So we'll say, so this the Rebbe is framing for us the two different models of tzidkus, the two different models of righteousness. The first level we'll call it the confident tzaddik. The confident tzaddik knows that he has the ability not only to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but to shape destiny, because I'm important, I'm chashiv, I'm meaningful, because I'm doing meaningful things in this world, and therefore I have the ability to affect change. The second type of tzaddik believes he's a nothing. Essentially believes he's a nothing. I'm worthless. I don't mean anything. I have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu because that's my mandate. But at the end of the day, I have no ability to affect any level of change.
What did you say? We have to be a third version of measure of energy. Because he had humility. He also thought he was nothing. But yet he still died.
Now remember, in the first level, it's also humility. I know what I'm not. But I also know that I have the ability to affect change. I think the first model is Moshe Rabbeinu, where the tzaddik is humble, because you can't be a tzaddik without humility. Right? There's no such thing as tzidkus without anava. You need humility, but the tzaddik also knows who he is and what he can accomplish. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu, the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu is the paradigm of anava, of humility, because people often think that what is humility? I'm a nothing, right? That's not what humility is. Humility means knowing what you are, but also knowing what you're not. Knowing what you've accomplished, but also knowing there's a lot more to accomplish. That was Moshe Rabbeinu. He knew who he was. The raya for that is, he broke the luchos. You don't break the luchos unless you feel that you're going to be able to manage this situation. That's a pretty dramatic... You don't stand up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu after Chayta Egel unless you believe that you have the ability somehow, some way, to alter the course of destiny. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. So we'll say, watch this. Turn the page. We're going to skip a few paragraphs. Rav Levi Yitzchok really advances something that I think is quite dynamically amazing. V'noach. Look at the Rebbe says, paragraph C. V'noach, hagam shahayat tzaddik gadol v'tamim. Even though Noach was great, even though Noach was righteous, a gadol, he was incredible, he was great, he was righteous, and he was complete. Hayakatan be'inov ma'od. Sibosai, you want to know what Noach's real problem was, says Rav Levi Yitzchak? Noach was very small in his own eyes. In other words, Noach felt insignificant. Noach felt that he was unworthy. Noach felt that he could not affect any level of change. V'lo, watch, well, listen to these words. V'lo haya lo emuna ba'atzmo shehu tzadik moshel v'yachol avatel ha'gzera. So what happens when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Noach, Kates kol basar balafanai, I'm going to wipe out the entire world. I'm going to go ahead and literally bring a flood that's going to obliterate all life. So as much as Noach wants to object, and he wants to daven, and he wants to plead, because he feels so insignificant in his own eyes, he doesn't say a word. Because what's the point? Who am I? God's going to do whatever God wants to do, and my opinion, or my complaint, or my supplication are absolutely meaningless. Therefore, ve'in yochal levat lagzera, I can't overturn this. Adrabo. Listen to Cesar Levy says something amazing. Hayachashuv be'inov kishar hadar. Noach thought pretty much that he was in, and no pun intended, the same boat as the rest of the world. In other words, Noach did not feel that he was any more righteous than anyone else, and therefore, v'hayachoshev im ani ehayen nitzol b'teva v'ani ein tzadik yoser mishar hadar heima gam kein yinatzlu. And he began to think to himself, you know what? If I'm going to be saved, and I'm not righteous, then what? God's going to save the rest of the world as well. That's Noach's thinking. Noach has such a low view of himself, such a lack of self-confidence, such a lack of self-worth, that he saw himself no better than the rest of the generation. See, he figured to himself what? If the Ribbono Shel Olam appeared to me and said what? And said, hey Noach, Bolte, I'm going to save you. God must have appeared to other people as well. And perhaps God even appeared to all of humanity as well. Whatever's going to happen to me is going to happen to them. If I'm going to be saved, they're going to be saved. So first of all, we can answer the second question. Why didn't Noach daven? Why didn't Noach daven, Abba Osai? Because tefillah, to overturn a gzera, requires confidence, requires self-worth, requires belief in yourself. And Noach possessed none of that. Therefore, again, Noah figures, what is the point of davening? I would daven if I felt I could affect change. I would daven if I felt I could overturn the gzeirah. But who am I? What am I? I'm a nothing. So I could waste my time davening, but there's no point. That's why he never davens. See, everyone thinks, you know, there's a phrase about a tzaddik in pelts. You know, everyone thinks that, like, tzaddik, the Noach was the tzaddik in his coat, as long as he's keeping warm, even if the rest of the generation is freezing, who cares? I think it's a terrible way to look at Noach. Noach was a tzaddik. Noach was a tzaddik. You know what Noach's problem was? Noach's problem was his self-confidence. Noach's problem was his self-worth. He felt like a nothing. And when you feel like a nothing, when you feel like a nothing, ultimately, again, you don't believe you have the power to affect any level of change. You don't feel like you have the ability to do anything significant. When you feel like a failure, when you feel like a nothing, there's no impetus, there's no drive, there's no koach to be able to accomplish something. Therefore, Noach never davens, because he doesn't feel he has any koach to go ahead and change the circumstances. Watch this. Paragraph D. V'zeh pirash Rashi, get ready if this is going to change your life forever. V'zeh pirash Rashi. Af Noach miktani emuna haya. This is what it means when it says that Noach was miktani emuna. He says of Levi Yitzchok, everyone thinks that miktani emuna means that Noach was small in his faith in Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Says of Levi Yitzchok, that's not what it means. Rather, Ratzo lomar, Noach haya katan be'enov be'emuna shu tzadik tamim sheyachol levatal hagzera. Noach af Noach miktani emuna. Yes, Noach lacked faith. Not faith in God. Who did Noach lack faith in? He lacked faith in himself. And why does Noach stand outside of the Teva? Even once it begins to, only until he's forced in. You know why? Because going to Levi Yitzchok, he's waiting for other people to join him. Because as far as Noach is concerned, if I'm being saved and I'm a nothing, God must be saving other people as well. See, he waits outside of the Teva to see Miva Miyahuch Olchim. Who else is joining us on this journey? And it's only once he can't stand outside anymore, that he's forced inside, that Lamaise has to go in and has to acknowledge he's the only one being saved. But why? So why doesn't he daven? Why does he wait outside? Not chas v'shalom because of a lack of faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Nebuch because of a lack of faith in himself.
So why does he go to Teva in the first place? If he thinks that everybody else is building a Teva, and he was told to build a Teva, and he sees nobody else is building a Teva, why?
Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to. Rebbe Shalom told him to do it. See, he's a good soldier. He's a tzaddik. Remember, the Bon Shalom appears to you and tells you to build an ark. You're going to build an ark. Remember again, he doesn't know what's going on over there, what's going on over here, what's going on. He just figures, well, maybe the ark is miraculously going to contain it. Whatever his cheshbin was, never for a second does he think that he's different than everyone else. So if God's telling me to build an ark, maybe he's saying this one to do this, he's saying that one to do that, or maybe he's saving the other people in some different way. But Lamaisa, it's such a dramatically different way of looking at Noach. Everyone gives Noach such a bad rap that he lacks faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He only cares about himself. Chas v'shalom, Levi Yitzchok. Nebuch, Yonah suffered from low self-esteem. Not Yonah, Noach suffered from low self-esteem. Noach suffered from a lack of self-worth. Noach doesn't feel that he's worth anything, that he's better than anyone, and therefore never even feels the confidence to intervene with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on behalf of this generation. Look how the Rebbe ends. Shelo haya chashuv ve'enei atzmo klum. We'll say, what a dramatic statement. He was worth nothing in his own eyes. You want to cry for Noach. How could it be? You're a tzaddik. You're a good man. You're a righteous individual. You raised righteous children. And yet you feel like an absolute nothing. And I will say, when you feel like an absolute nothing, you know what you accomplish? Absolutely nothing. If you don't believe in yourself, you can't accomplish anything great in life. And take a look in the footnote over here.
Could it be that he had emunah in himself, but he also had faith in others? He was more Dalnikov's chutz, that he assumed that they were more righteous than perhaps they assumed.
That could be, except, remember, the Rebbe is operating off Rashi's phrase of Noach Miktani Amuna Haya. Say, so, Inachinami, I think you could definitely throw them being down the Kafsachos. You know, they look evil to me. Maybe they're all just, deep covered tzaddikim. Whatever it is, Inachinami. But what do you do with that phrase? That's where the Rebbe is coming from. So we'll say, look at this is, from a newer edition. You know, they keep coming out with new editions of Kiddush HaSlevi. I mean, Levi Yitzchak hasn't written anything new recently, you know, for the last few hundred years. But they keep coming out with newer editions with footnotes. A couple of years ago, I got this edition. So this one has actually very nice footnotes. So he writes over here, look by paragraph E. Ubisefer Pirkei Moshe b'mnei Rabbi Moshe al Yochim Biriyah Mekoshnitz. So he quotes the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. And he quotes over here, from, we'll see, Rav Elimelech of Lezhensk. The Mishnah in Ava says, listen to this, Asei Lecha Rav. So we're familiar with this Mishnah, right? A person has to have a Rebbe, a person should make for themselves a Rav. Okay, so watch this. Tehine, Kishat Tzadik Rotzeh Lefa Avar Yisrael Eiz Adavar. When a Tzadik wants to do something on behalf of Klal Yisrael, Tehayu Levatel Me'aleim Kol Gziras Kashos HaKedomeh, like, for example, to God and be Mevatel from upon them. All difficulties, all Gziras Kashos. Azai, Eino Roshei Lios Anav V'Shapal Be'esei. He was saying, there's a time for humility. There are times for humility. And there are also times not to be so humble. When you have to accomplish something great, sometimes you have to put your humility in check. And sometimes you have to have the koach just to surge forward and do what needs to get done. Ach mechuyav l'schazek gehova. Person has to be strong like a wall. V'lamo b'peres lifnei adas son kachim. And sometimes, again, a person has, you know, we'll say sometimes, you know, everyone, of course, is in favor of collaboration. And collaboration is always wonderful. The problem is sometimes what? Sometimes when you're collaborating, so the sheep are going in all different directions, and someone's got to be the fence or the wall to say, sorry, we're not going in that direction. We're not going there, we're not going there. This is what we're doing. A person sometimes has to be strong in order to lead the flock. And he goes on, he says, listen, this is wild, by the way. When the Norm Elimelech, the Elimelech of Lezhensk, would hear, you know, all these great rebbes had some level of Ruach HaKodesh, had some level of understanding of what was happening on high. So when the great Rebbe, the Ram Elimelech, would hear, like, this is going to blow your mind, when he would hear, Kishashama, Sheyotza Eze Gzeira Kasha Chasashon Al Yisrael, when he heard from on high that there was some type of negative Gzeira against Klal Yisrael, you know what he would do? Listen to this. His Chazik Atzmo, he would strengthen himself, Va'omar Bezeh Alashon, Ze Haya Terem Hayos Elimelech Ba'olam. Ribono shel olam, you made that gzeira before Elimelech was in this world. Aval ato Elimelech kan ve'eino maskim lozeh. But Elimelech is now in the world, and ribono shel olam, Elimelech does not agree with what you're doing. V'lo zaz misham ad shivatel kol gzeiras miYisrael. And he wouldn't move until he was able to negate all the evil decrees. I'm also like, don't try this at home. Right? Don't do this. Because obviously, again, this is for tzaddikim. This is for tzaddikim. But it tells you that, now, what does that mean? You have to believe you're able to do it. I have to believe that if I develop myself enough and I become a tzaddik, I can do this. I can't do it now because I'm not a tzaddik. But if I develop this koach is in each of us. This koach is in each of us. The difference is, the Norm Elimelech developed himself, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak developed himself, the Baal Shem Tov, Rabbi Nachman developed themselves. If I develop myself, I could have that koach also. Not now. But if that's the Norm Elimelech, I disagree. I disagree with you, and I'm not letting you do this. And that is the power of a tzaddik. Now you'll say, what? The Norm Elimelech was a Baal Gaiva? Was he arrogant? Chas v'shalom. He was exceptionally humble. But people confuse humility. You know, people think, you know, oh, wow, that guy thinks he's a shmate, he's so humble. If a person thinks they're a shmate, they're not humble, they have poor or low or no self-esteem. There's a very important distinction between humility and low self-esteem. Like we said before, humility means I know what I am, I know what I'm not. I know what I'm not. I don't get carried with my accomplishments because I know how much more I could do. Says Norm Elimelech, I know who I am. I know what I am. And I know that I affect change. He goes on, he says, Vizel ma'amaratana. By the way, this is beautiful. This is the meaning of the Mishnah. Asei l'cha rav. See, Rabbi say, everyone thinks that asei l'cha rav means make for yourself a Rebbe. That's true. We all need a Rebbe. But asei l'cha rav means sometimes in life you have to make yourself great. Asei l'cha rav. Focus on your greatness. Understand how great you are. Believe in yourself. Because if you make yourself great, and if you believe in your greatness, and if you believe in your righteousness, and if you believe in your piety, and then you will believe and you will know that you could affect change, that you have the ability to turn things around. And says the Rebbe, going back, the real tragedy, of course, is Parshas Noach, is that mankind is obliterated. That's the real tragedy. That's the global tragedy. But you know, the personal tragedy is the tragedy of Noach. Because the tragedy of Noach, I will say, is finding out after the fact that, you know what? He could have davened. Now, would his tefillos have changed anything? We know, just because a tzaddik davens, a tzaddik is not always successful in changing things. After all, again, Avraham Avinu davened for Sodom, and that wasn't, right? The answer was no. The answer was no. But I'll tell you one thing, and I believe this with all of my heart. You know, people think that when you daven for something and you don't get it, the tefillos didn't work. So the klal gadol is, tefillos always work. They always work. Just sometimes they don't work in the ways that we had wanted them to. Meaning, I wanted my tefillah to accomplish A. Didn't accomplish A. But I will say, that tefillah may go on to accomplish B, C, D, and E. Avraham Avinu's tefillahs by stone. We'll talk about that more next week. Avraham Avinu's tefillahs by stone. I will say, were not failed tefillahs. He didn't get what he wanted. But did Avraham Avinu, through those tefillahs, introduce cosmic universal change? Unequivocally, yes. Unequivocally, yes. The same way, the tragedy over here is that Noach failed to realize that he could affect change. Noach failed to realize that through his tefillos, through his intervention, through his efforts, he could change the reality of things. But because he didn't believe in himself, therefore he was unable to affect any real change in his own life. And that's why, again, you see, by the way, a lot of this also, that's why even after the Teva, you know, there's the whole debacle with the wine and everything. Noach, when you don't have good self-esteem, when you don't believe in yourself, you don't pave the way for good things. So I'm saying the takeaway message for us is quite clear and obvious. You know, we all make mistakes. We all make mistakes. Sometimes big mistakes, sometimes little mistakes, sometimes a combination of the two. That's the general klal in life. And sometimes when we make mistakes, sometimes a lot of them are some significant ones, we lose the ability to believe in ourselves. Let's again back to something we learned earlier by Rabbi Nachman. You know, no matter how much bad I do, there's always something good in me. I have to focus on that, and I have to believe in myself that if there's some good, then there's what to build on. If there's some good, that means there's a spark, I could fan it into a beautiful fire. Success in life begins with belief in ourselves. Success in life begins with a recognition that I could affect change. And we'll say, you should just know. So why is it so complicated? Why do people often have such a difficult time believing in themselves? Because, see, you have to read the fine print. So if I believe in myself, so what's the fine print? The fine print is, that means I could accomplish a lot. And if I could accomplish a lot, that makes me responsible if I don't accomplish a lot. So very often in life, it's just easier not to believe in myself. Because if I don't believe in myself, then I'm not capable of anything. If I'm not capable of anything, then guess what? The bar is all the way down here. Masha Enkin, if I believe in myself, the bar is up here. Well, you know what? I'm here. The bar's up here. That's a lot of work. It's so much easier just to lower the bar. That's why so often in life we just refuse to believe in ourselves, because Lamaisa, we don't want the burden then of expectations, the burden of accomplishment. What we learn from Noach is, well, so if we want to affect, and by the way, just as an aside, there's such an incredible yisod in parenting as well. One of the most important things that parents could give their children is to teach our children to believe in themselves. Self-confidence. But here's the chap. You know, sometimes parents unwittingly link their children's self-confidence to children's accomplishments. Right? So if my kid does well on the test, oh, I'm going to really positive reinforce. It's going to be great. It's wonderful. That's fine, except when the kid doesn't do well. And some kids never do well on the tests. Some kids never do well on the tests. They just don't. Or some kids don't succeed in this, or don't succeed in that, or don't succeed in something else. That's why it's so important that a parent instills, and a parent really amplifies that self-confidence in their child. You're great. You're great, okay, you messed up over here, you messed up over there, we all mess up in life, but you are great, you're special, you're capable of affecting change, you're capable of affecting change in yourself, in your world, even in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the chinuch we have to give to our children, that's the chinuch we have to give to ourselves. So we should be zochem, yes, Hashem, to learn from the really tragic mistake of Noach, and we should recognize that each of us, to differing degrees, depending where we're holding in life, have the ability to affect change in our lives, affect change in our families, affect change even in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. May we zochem Yiratz Hashem to realize that koach we have, may we zochem Yiratz Hashem to actualize it as well. Shkoyach.
Beautiful. Always.
Yeah. Rabbi Yitzchak.
I saw a man who brought down a quote of this Rabbi Yitzchak, but he got another answer also. I forgot who it was from. Maybe it was from the Damska, the entire slang there. But he said, what does it mean to cut and cut me? And he said that when a tzaddik believes in something, their belief in that idea makes an actuality.
Oh, yeah.
So the thing
creates a reality.
Yeah, it creates reality. So it's just, yeah. Never